Overview of the QAPI process in long-term care, a conversation with Penny Imes. This webinar included a visual PowerPoint presentation. To view a video recording, visit the link in the description of this podcast.
Good afternoon and welcome to our series of webinars focused on bringing you information about COVID-19 related topics. The information in these weekly webinars is geared toward long-term care and skilled nursing facilities, but we encourage everyone who's interested to attend. My name is Kathy Caudill. I'm a communications specialist with Quality Insights, and today's webinar is an overview of the QAPI process in long-term care. And now I'd like to introduce our guest today, Penny Imes. Penny is a quality improvement specialist at Quality Insights. She started her nursing career in acute care before moving into long-term care. Her positions in long-term care have included staff development, dementia unit manager, registered nurse, assessment coordinator, and director of nursing. She found the perfect combination for herself at Quality Insights, where she's able to work in quality improvement with long-term care nursing homes. Penny, welcome back.
Hi, thanks, Kathy. And thank you, everyone, for being here today. What we wanted to do was really follow up on Dr. Storm's presentations from the last 2 weeks to really build a little bit more on the QAPI process. Because we know with everything that we've gone through the last few years with COVID, that there are a lot of challenges with QAPI. There could be the situation where, you know, staff that was at the nursing home who were more familiar with QAPI are no longer there. You have a lot of new people who are not familiar with the processes. And then sometimes we have the situation where we've been working in crisis mode for so many years that it's been, you know, that emergency management, addressing what's happening right in front of us. And we may have lost sight of some of the processes that we need that can really help us get stable performance improvement in place in our nursing homes. So we really wanted today to go over QAPI again and look at it as how it can be the building block to your quality assurance and performance improvement process. So what I want to do today, I am again going to review the five core elements of QAPI along with the F tags that are associated with each of those areas, talk about the key role that data has in using QAPI, and then also the team that should be part of your QAPI plans and projects. And then we'll talk about a few features of the QAPI plan, a few of the processes. So again, these slides, they go over quality assurance. So quality assurance is that organized structure, processes, and procedures that you want to put in place. This slide has an example of that. I'm not going to go over it. It shows, you know, just tracking so that you can make sure that your nursing home is following along and that you're meeting what you have to meet. And then performance improvement is that interdisciplinary, ongoing process that helps you improve resident outcomes. And on this slide, we have an example of what that is, looking at antipsychotics and how when you pull performance improvement into it, you're digging a little deeper, you're using more of a process to really look at your data, track where you want to go and how you're going to get there. So when you pull QA plus PI together, and a lot of us, if you've been in long-term care for a long time, as I have, you know, some of us are familiar where it was just that QA, QAA committee, where we were really measuring our compliance with the standards. We were all, you know, really the annual inspection was what you waited for to see where you were at, what was happening. A lot of times we reacted to what came out of that inspection. Sometimes the focus when something wasn't working, when we weren't meeting standards, sometimes we looked at the outliers, who's at fault, who is causing this. And some, just a few people were responsible. You know, sometimes it was just management team, leadership team, and not really involving anybody else. And we wanted to see a shift from just that QA to performance improvement, where you include those tools, those resources, that process that helps you to be proactive, to prevent incidents before they happen, to choose based on your data, your individual facility data, what you need to work on, and to look at processes. So instead of someone fell, who let them fall, it's what is within our process that may have caused this fall to occur. And it's involving everybody within the nursing home. So not just the medical director, administrator, DON, but also pulling in staff from the units, including residents, families, getting their voice in it, other departments. So very interdisciplinary. So the QAPI together is where we want to see nursing homes focus their efforts moving forward. There are the five elements. At one of my last slides of the presentation, it has resources, and the CMS website with the QAPI tools and resources is one of the links. It's a really excellent website, and everything that I'm going to talk about today, you can go to that website, you can download those tools and resources, you can reach out to us here at Quality Insights, where we also have those tools and resources available for you, because they help you in having that plan in place so that you can move through the process. But the five elements, I'm going to go through them as we go through the slides, but here they are, and we'll be talking about each of them in more detail. And I really want to look at the five elements as the building blocks for your QAPI processes and projects. And you're using them to help you build what you need to improve the quality of care and quality of life for your residents. And the F tags were actually the F tags around QAPI support those five elements. As you can see, F865, where it's element number one, you develop, implement, maintain that effective, comprehensive, data-driven QAPI program, focusing on outcomes of care and quality of life. And that's the whole design and scope of the five elements of the QAPI program. And then F866, sorry about that, talks about your data. So it's having those written policies and procedures, having the data collection systems, the monitoring, being able to show what you have in place using tools and processes. 867 is that systematic analysis and systemic action, where we are looking at performance improvement. We are implementing actions. We're using the data to measure our success. We're tracking our performance because we really want to make sure that the improvements that we're making are happening and that they're sustainable. F tag 868 supports what you want to have as part of your QAA committee. So the QAA committee is, needs to meet at least quarterly. All the people listed here are the people you should absolutely have on that quarterly meeting. I believe most nursing homes that I've worked with, and I'm sure most of you probably have your monthly QAPI meetings where it's more, maybe a few more of the people, maybe some managers, maybe from frontline staff. And then we'll also be talking about building PIP teams, which will be other team members included in part of that. But at a minimum, quarterly, you must have these people as part of your QAA committee. And then F944, they're looking at quality assurance and performance improvement. And that's making sure that you're doing that education, you're educating your staff on the elements and goals of what your facility QAPI program is. And what we're doing today is part of that education with you to help you be able to educate your staff. And again, we are always available to assist you. So the first element of governance, the second element, we did design and scope. Second, governance and leadership. This is where leadership is, it's very important that you are fostering that culture where quality improvement is a priority. It's up to the leaders to be able to make sure that there are adequate resources. You have the finances, the budget, you know what you can afford. If it turns out that an intervention or something that you need to implement might be something that you have to put into the budget to be able to afford it. So being part of the efforts, you'll know what you can tell your teams that they can do. Making sure that you are educating staff, residents, families on QAPI and why it's a priority, what it means for you for quality improvement within your nursing home. And also making sure that the staff is able to be part of these teams and to help come up with the solutions that you need. And then leadership is generally you are the ones that are going to have those written policies, develop those policies. And you know, we've been talking a long time for many years about developing policies, making sure the processes are in place so that you can adjust for changes in personnel and turnover. And when have we ever seen turnover the way it is now? So, you know, I think looking at where we are with staffing and where we're probably yet to be over the next year or so, it's really important to have that written information, those policies, and those processes in place so that when staff does turn over, the processes will continue. And that's where QAPI, I think that process is so good at helping somebody move in to continue to address your problems so that you're not a nursing home who's constantly just putting out fires and doing band-aid fixes. And then leadership has to create that atmosphere. Quality improvement works best when you have that just culture, that atmosphere where people can come to you and they can feel comfortable in identifying and reporting quality problems. And so it's going to be up to you to empower the staff to be part of the QI team. And there are different ways to do that. There are different ways that we have to look at doing that with the staffing the way it is right now also. We'll talk a little bit about that. Then feedback data monitoring. This is where your individual nursing home. I mean, we can all go, okay, I looked at my Casper report, iKeys, and you know, we're high in this area. I've heard other nursing homes have applied this, or this, so I'll just try it. Not every fix, not every best practice is the right one for you. So that's why it's important to use data. To use your own feedback. So you look at data, we have multiple sources in the nursing home, the Casper reports that based on the quality measures, your 24-hour report sheets, what happened, how many people failed, have you developed pressure ulcers? So there's data available that for you to look at. What's important with this process with QAPI is making that data meaningful. Looking at what is happening within your nursing home, using that to prioritize where you need to make improvements. And quite honestly, with the staffing situation, you can't necessarily run three or four PIP projects at one time because you probably don't have the bandwidth to do that, the staff to do that. So let's prioritize where we need to start work first. And there are tools, QAPI tools to do that, you know, to help you prioritize. This is something that affects residents and costs a lot of money. So maybe this is where we put our efforts first. And then the second thing that we need to work on is something that we work on later. So making the data meaningful, use it to prioritize, use the processes to help you drive your decisions, to help you set your goals. This is where we are. This is where we want to be. Here are our benchmarks, our thresholds. And then making sure that you're collecting data that you're able to track and monitor the measures. You just don't want to collect data for the sake of collecting data and then not be able to go anywhere with it. And the tools and processes that we have for QAPI will help you to do that. And then the performance improvement projects, the fourth element, is that's where you're pulling your teams together to look at something specific. So it's concentrating your effort on a particular problem where you're saying, what are we trying to accomplish? And then your team wants to ask, how will we know it's an improvement? And as I said, that's where you use your data to clarify the issue and be able to show the improvement that you're making. And then the team will talk about what change do we think we can implement that will make an improvement based on what we have. And again, teamwork is the core of component of these PIPs. All that you want to make sure, so let's say you've had a number of falls on a specific unit on 3 to 11 shift. When you're pulling together this performance improvement project and you're looking at how can we improve this process, you really want to make sure that you have staff involved who work on that unit on 3 to 11, because they're the people who are going to be able to tell you how the process is truly working, what's wrong with the process, and if we put an intervention in place, we will be able to carry it out. And also, I think, most people, although change is something that's good, sometimes people can be resistant to change. So if you don't include them in the plan, and you as management leadership, you just go out and you say, here, this is a solution that we came up with, put this into place, you're probably going to get pushback. But if you're pulling those people in, you're including them as part of the team, then you're getting them, whether they come up with the same solution that you would have, that's not the point. The point is that they're involved in coming up with the plan, the intervention, the solution, so that they feel like part of it. And then I can guarantee you that whatever you put in place is going to be more successful because you involved all the staff who are part of that process. I did want to show you flow charting. This is something a little bit more in depth that we do. Some processes that you're looking at, it's nice to have a flow chart when you're pulling your teams together, they're looking at making improvements and how they want to do that. A flow chart can help them map out the process that they're looking at. So, you can see this one talks about, coffee and what could go wrong in the process for getting a cup of coffee. And it's those areas where you see like a no. These are the gaps. These are the opportunities for improvement. You can do something as like, let's say you identified falls on your dementia unit in the 2 hours before dinner time. So you could map out that process. So you could start at, you could, the beginning could be, start of 3:11 shift on the dementia unit, and the end point is getting to dinner at 5 p.m. in the dining room, and what's happening in during that process. And then you can use that to identify and to have a visual for people to see where there might be issues. So flow charting, it's a nice visual. It helps the team to understand what's going on, helps them to kind of see where the opportunities for improvement are. And then that can lead them into our next step of a QAPI process, which is the root cause analysis. And the root cause analysis is where we want to determine what happened, why it happened, and then that helps us lead to a preventive measure that we can implement to address the area of concern. So one example of root cause analysis in action, so is and in this nursing home, they had been having issues with falls, and so they were monitoring falls, and then an incident that occurred. Resident was placed in a Hoyer lift from the wheelchair to be transferred back to bed. The lift started to sink towards the floor. Resident's weight was exceeding the capacity of the lift. The CNA saw the resident start to fall, tried to pull them back over to get them into the bed. They weren't successful. Before they got them into the bed, the Hoyer lift tipped, the resident fell, and the Hoyer lift fell on top of them. Now, one thing that you could do is say, well, why did the CNA let that resident fall and just go from there? But if you really use processes and you take a look at the five whys into how this incident happened, that will help you dig down more. Ask the questions, not just you're a bad CNA, you let the resident fall, and now you're going to be punished. It's that process of, well, let's look at this, let's drill down, let's understand what happened here using root cause analysis. So you follow up. The CNA says, well, I didn't really have the equipment that I needed for the resident. Why is that? The equipment's hard to find. Well, why is that? Because this person was exceeded the 300-pound weight limit for our normal Hoyer lifts. There's one Hoyer lift that is used for bariatric residents, and we don't have enough of that equipment to care for the residents. Why don't we have enough of that equipment around? Because nobody actually ever looked at the residents, who needs this equipment, what are their needs? And so we realized that one root cause of why this incident occurred is that our strategic planning and budgeting process did not really include projections of equipment needs. So if we had stopped, at, gee, the CNA used the wrong Hoyer lift and let the person fall, without drilling down, you would never get to see that, well, we actually have to come up with a process to look at what are the needs of the residents, what are their unique needs, what equipment do they need, and this nursing home in particular discovered that they needed another Hoyer lift because they had quite a few bariatric residents who were over the 300-pound weight limit. That is an example of how root cause analysis can work. And then based on that, they would then take a look at, okay, so we need to implement this into the, this is one root cause we're going to look at. How do we implement this into the budgeting? So the team would come up with a plan. You know, what's your change? Who's going to be involved? What data will they collect? What do you think will happen? This is the PDSA. These are those plan, do, study, act cycles where you come up with whatever intervention that you're implementing that will address the root cause or causes of your problem. You run a short cycle based on that opportunity for improvement to come up with what you think will be you can implement to improve that the cause of your problem. These are meant to be short cycles. So you would carry it out. You would, in this case, we're like, okay, let's come up with a spreadsheet where and assign somebody, we think a spreadsheet where they can write down when a resident comes in, what equipment they need, if they have special needs. And then you want to, then the team would bring that back, look at the spreadsheet. They put it out there. They had someone look at it. Did it work well? Did the staff understand how to use it? Was there anything else that they found? That's the study phase. And then the act is based on what you learned. Are you going to implement this intervention that you think will be an improvement? And in this case, they had to make a few tweaks to the spreadsheet to make sure that it worked right. They had to make sure that they assigned who was going to be using their spreadsheet, and then they were able to adopt that so that they made sure that the right equipment was going to be ordered. And so this is very basically when you're designing your QAPI plan, you're doing your PIP. Use your data, identify your problem. It can be any area. Determine your team. As I said, you know, if you're looking at opioids, you absolutely want to make sure you have your medical director and pharmacist on that team. If you're looking at falls on a specific area, you want to make sure that the staff in that area are involved. So, you know, your team will be dependent on the data that helped you identify your problem. The PIP goals will lead you to the root cause analysis, do the five whys, come up with more than one cause sometimes. So you have to implement interventions. And that's why you want to do them quickly, make sure that they work. Don't carry this out for long periods of time. I think sometimes you find root cause analysis can be difficult because sometimes it's easy to think that you know the answer and then you don't go a little bit further. And you kind of have to work with your team to understand how to really get to the true root causes of a problem sometimes. The tools can help you. We can help you with that also. And then here's a real life example too. Okay, so for instance, this facility, they had an increase in their number of urinary tract infections in the last 4 months. The infection rate is now more than twice the national average. And the infection preventionist, who is really dedicated to QAPI and quite good, approaches the DON about this increase that she's seen in UTIs. So, what are the steps that a proactive QAPI facility would follow then? They've identified the problem. They want to decide on their team based on their data. They're going to ask their three questions to determine the PIP goal, do the root cause analysis, and then the plan, do, study, act. So to start with, then the IP would print out a list of all the UTIs in the last 6 months. So this kind of shows you how you can take that, those elements, those processes, those tools, and you can put it into an actual plan where then this is what we do. So we want to look at all the UTIs in the last 6 months so that we can determine why there's been a substantial increase over the last 4 months. What has happened in the last 4 months that has caused this to increase? So they meet with the IP meets with the medical director about the UTI rates. You're breaking them down by date and unit. You're finding that most of the UTIs are in one unit. So when you're coming up with your PIP team, you absolutely want to make sure that you're looking, including staff from that unit, because they're the people that can tell you if there's a hydration program in place, any number of things that you might need to think about when you're addressing UTIs. And then your PIP goals. And this is very, the aim is for trying to reduce the number of UTIs. When you're planning this out, where you would do your smart sheet, your goals, you would put like, here's our number of UTIs, here's where we want to be, and sort of spell out in the time frame that we're going to work on getting that there. And then how will we know that it's an improvement? Well, we'll have less UTIs diagnosed, as well as we expect to see fewer CNS urines ordered. And within that, we're hoping to see less antibiotics used. And so, what's the change that the team believes they can implement to address this issue, an algorithm for UTI diagnosis and treatment? And so then, as they move forward with this, the root cause analysis, they would be looking at why are the UA, they've noticed a spike in UACNS being ordered. Why is that? Why does this one unit have more UTIs? Is there one provider, perhaps in particular, ordering more UAs? Is there a, why was a certain resident being diagnosed with multiple UTIs? Taking a look, so you're take you can look take a look at the individuals, take a look at the resident. What's happening with that resident that we might need to address to help prevent them from being diagnosed with multiple UTIs, as well as a process, the process of who is ordering UAs? Why are the UAs being ordered? So you can look at it from a more resident-focused individual perspective. You could do a root cause analysis on a process. There's all different ways to do this and look at it. And the PDSA, they're going to implement that algorithm for the UTI diagnosis and treatment, starting small, tracking the results on the UTI rates. And this is why, the algorithm might be one thing that we're looking at. So we want to run this small, quick PDSA cycle and then bring it back, study it, repeat. Sometimes you need to put something else out there because what you thought would work didn't work quite the way you did. So you don't want to spend a month on one thing in case you need to make some changes to it. And so that's one area. I'm going to probably finish up. There are a lot of different, like when you're looking at antipsychotic medications, that's another thing where you can drill it down to the processes that are happening. We're having residents come in on antipsychotics on admission. So we might want to address that. Or we have residents using your data, residents coming in on antipsychotic medications and then they're being ordered. So let's figure out why. Or we're not doing gradual dosings on residents on one unit and our antipsychotic medication use is going high. So let's narrow that down. So as you can see, you can apply these processes to anything. Then the final area where we sometimes have identified where, and I don't know if some of you have gone through this, where you feel like you're working on something, you think you have an intervention in place to address it, and you come back 4 months later and you're working on it again. And we've seen a few cases where you can implement something, but if you don't build it into your process, you're not able to sustain that improvement. And so moving on to the last part of that sustainability, and that's your ongoing systemic action, making sure that whatever change you've made to address the what you need to improve, whether it's whatever type of intervention, whether it's a process, whether it's a form, you want to make sure humans, I think, by nature resist change even when it's good. So when we're implementing a change, we need to make sure that it's built into everything. And as I said, I think many of the QAPI tools are really good. They're well written. And this one in particular, it takes you through, okay, we've implemented this intervention. So is it part of our systems? Have people been educated on it? If it's an algorithm, who's who's implementing it? Who's responsible for it? Who needs to know about it? How are we educating them? How are we educating new staff when they come in? Is it part of orientation? The Hoyer lift, we ordered, who's going to be responsible for making sure that we know what the equipment needs are? Have we funded for that to be part of the budget? Where are we going to keep where another Hoyer lift, where are we going to keep these lifts? And how are we going to let people know where they're at and how to plug them in and charge them and that type of thing? So you have to make sure that all of those things are built in to what you're doing. And these are nice checklists to enable you to do that.
Penny, I'd like to thank you for joining us again, and I'd like to thank all of you for joining us, and we hope to see you back here again next week.
If you would like to contact Penny Imes, you can reach her at pimes@qualityinsights.org. That's P-I-M-E-S at qualityinsights.org. You can check out our other interviews at qualityinsights.org/QIN/multimedia.